Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to Life Transformation Radio. We are live right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 63 countries, such as the US, Sweden, the UK, Australia, Brazil, Mexico. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we are using this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. Never miss an episode by subscribing. Go ahead and rate and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, including the Google Play Music app. On my show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, amazing people in the world that are having an impact everywhere they go. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any question for any of my guests on this live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show Two Feet. So explain, your name is Two Feet. Explain it to me. I love that.
Okay, well, it's actually... Hi, thank you. My name is Two Feet, like tsunami. But it's very often the very first question I get on any radio show or podcast is, Two Feet, how do I pronounce your name? So I sometimes I tell this story. A few years ago, I was on a live terrestrial radio. That's what people call, like, you know, before we had online radio show. And she was asking me, on the show, how do you pronounce your name, just before we went live. So, and she was calling me Two Feet. So I said, no, it's Two Feet, feet. And so I said it like three times. So mm-hmm. she wrote down, right? So then we go on the air live, live radio, and hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today we would like to welcome award-winning author Two Foot. So she remembered the feet thing, but she got the tense wrong. So it's fun, but yeah, Two Feet like tsunami.
Well, it's definitely a conversation starter, but I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for your time and energy today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. You got it.
So this episode is titled Step Into the Spotlight with Sufit. Recently featured in Forbes, Sufit is the author of award-winning book Step Into the Spotlight, A Guide to Getting Noticed. Sufi is a former lawyer who has been described by the Toronto Star as a starburst of energy, bright, bubbly, and upbeat, and by Publishers Weekly as a coaching dynamo. Her book has been endorsed by Tom Peters, J. Conrad Levinson, Jack Trout, BNI founder Ivan Misner, Les Brown, L. Rise. So many other New York Times bestselling authors and experts have endorsed this book. Formerly an actress, singer, comedian, the subject of hundreds of featured newspaper articles, television and radio appearances internationally, Sufi has appeared doing stand-up comedy in nightclubs and on national TV and has appeared on television and film commercials internationally. Sufi coaches professionals, entrepreneurs, and business owners, authors, speakers, coaches, consultants, and CEOs to catapult their personal brands and themselves into a starring role. She coaches her clients to get seen, get heard, and get noticed. Once named a super achiever by Canadian Lawyer magazine, Sufi is a Dean's List Law School graduate who practiced litigation law for 10 years before leaving the law for the limelight. Her music CD, Under the Mediterranean Sky, has made top album lists all over North America and is played on the radio internationally. Her unique story was the subject of a national television documentary which aired on several networks across Canada. Sophie is an in-demand keynote speaker, radio and TV show guest, seminar leader, and mom, although she does point out that she's not currently taking any new clients in that last category. So you can contact Sufit. She has the blog, www.psufit.com. There's her blog, LinkedIn group. And you can go and find her book at www.spotlightbook.com. And for a free Spotlight Secrets series, go to www.spotlightsecrets.com. So just by reading that, I am super, super, super pumped because you have, like, been there, done that. Amazing, amazing journey of life so far. Like, that's amazing.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it's interesting when you condense it all down into that. Yeah, it sounds that way. But, I mean, you know, living it took a little bit longer than reading it. But, right. Yeah, thank you.
So the first question I always ask the guests, why? Why be a speaker? Why be an author? Why be a lawyer? Like, what is your big why for what you do?
It's funny because just for the listeners, Sean warned me before we hopped on the air. We spoke for a second. He goes, okay, I'm going to ask you three questions, and then we're going to go into, you know, free raw discussion or whatever. And I said, don't tell me the questions ahead of time because I'm, you know, all about the spontaneity. And now I'm thinking, should have asked the questions ahead of time. How do I know what? But what I promised him was a raw, real response. And my raw, real response is, I don't know. Okay, let me try to give you a better answer. So I'm a lawyer, right? And, you know, why was a lawyer? Let's take it back a bit. So I'm a kid growing up, and I loved watching all the educational shows like Gilligan's Island and Get Smart and I Dream of Jeannie, and come on, you watch them too. And I always wanted to kind of be, you know, I wanted to be like them, right? Like Tina Louise Ginger in Gilligan's Island, you know? And so but I also wanted to be like Perry Mason, right? I wanted to be a lawyer, also influenced by TV. So my parents wanted me to do something much more practical than being an actress. So I became, you know, the choices were kind of doctor, lawyer, accountant. I became a lawyer. I was always interested in debate as a kid, became a litigation lawyer, did that for 10 years. And while I was doing that, I had four daughters in 4 years, like just the oldest was not yet 4 and a half when the baby sister was born, and there were two in between. So I'm a very focused person. When I'm doing something, I do it like boom, 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 boom. Okay, we're doing the diapers, we're doing the bottles, we're doing the strollers, then I'm done. I don't want to hear from, you know, when I hear these people that, you know, yeah, I had a baby and now 8 years later I'm having another one. I'm thinking, are you stupid? You know, like, I don't want to offend your audience, but like for me, like if I'm doing it, I'm doing it, right? If I'm done, I'm done. Right. Like, I'm not doing that again, right? And one of my daughters said, you know, mommy, one day will you babysit for us? I don't know. I think I'm kind of done. So anyway, so I'm very focused, as you can tell. So I did it. And so you asked me why. So I started, you know, acting, singing. I left law for the limelight because I kind of had that Peggy Lee moment, you know, that is that all there is kind of moment. And watching, you know, I'd go to shows and I'd see other people on stage, you know, for thousands of people in an amphitheater. And I'd think, you know, I could do that. So a few years later, it was me doing that. You know, I had enough of walking in those little halls underground and in, you know, downtown Toronto, in those tunnels under the buildings where you never see daylight. So I kind of left it all at one point, you know, left the law, kept the kids, and decided to follow my dream, which was to be an actress, singer, comedian. So I put out the CD that you guys heard about. I got on a sitcom for 4 years. I did commercials and stuff like that. And then I thought, you know, I really should feed the kids more than once or twice a week. So I decided, well, what can I do to make this a little bit more practical? And I decided that since I followed my dream, maybe I could show other people how to follow their dreams. And so I started becoming a coach. And as I became a coach, I thought, okay, now I got to get clients for this thing. So I worked really hard on getting publicity. And people started coming to me and saying, how'd you do that? How'd you get, you know, like I would go perform as a singer, let's say, in some city, let's say, in Canada. And there would be 50 acts, let's say. There'd be some big star guy, right? And then there'd be 49 other acts that nobody's heard of, right? But you'd arrive in that city, and there was a big article about the big star person, and there was a big article about me, and 48 other people wondering, who the hell is she, and why is there a big article about her, just like the big star, right? So people started coming to me for that and saying, can you teach me how to do that? And eventually, enough people came to me also in business, and so when I started raising my rates to more than lawyers charge, they said, well, can't you just write a book? So I wrote the book, Step Into the Spotlight, A Guide to Getting Noticed. And so my why is, like, I like to see people do what I'd like them to feel what I felt, you know, that transformation that you don't have to be stuck in what you're doing today. If you want to do something else, you can. And so I wanted to guide them to do that. But then, see, a lot of people try to make that transformation. They try to follow that dream, which is what my first coaching business was called, Follow That Dream. But they don't know how to monetize it, right? And the big key to monetizing it is to step into the spotlight so that people know that you exist. I mean, it's one thing to follow your dream and put up your shingle somewhere, but if nobody can see that shingle or nobody's heard of you, it's not going to be long before you have to go back to that corporate job. So that's my why.
True.
To help other people do what I did.
This is very true.
I hope the other
that's
two questions
very cool.
are easier. I hope the other two questions are easy.
They actually get harder. So, you know what I love about this, and I learned this from my friend Tom Singer. Tom Singer, for those listening, has a very cool podcast called Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do. And I was a guest on there, and he was a guest on my show, and his sole income, his wife's got other jobs and whatever, but his sole income was, or is, professional speaker, MC. He just gave an amazing TEDx talk. But for him to get better this year, he decided to do 3 to 5 minute sets of stand-up comedy. And he's telling me, he's like, you would be perfect for this. Like, your talk has a bunch of humor. It's not like weird, dry, you know, dry bar humor or whatever. Like, it's really like, man, you're like super funny. Like, you would be perfect at this. And I'm like super terrified. I mean, I speak at stages all over the place. I have a TEDx talk, but it's like, doing stand-up, like, what if I'm not funny? He's like, well, what if you just suck at speaking? I was like, well, I don't suck at speaking. He's like, well, you didn't come out of the womb speaking. I'm like, well, fair enough. So I'm super, like, in awe of you that you're doing stand-up when I know it probably made you that much better of a speaker.
Well, actually, it's kind of the reverse.
Oh, wow.
I mean, well, okay, yes and no. Okay, so I'll tell you how I came to comedy, and I don't consider myself a stand-up comic. Like, I've done stand-up comedy on national TV. I've done a comedic role on national TV, but I don't really identify that way. I have been hired, you know, to do comedy, but I don't identify that way. The way it happened for me was I'm a really good singer, okay? I would never have said, you know, about the comedic thing, except that when I was in shows, they always gave me the comedic role, right? You know, I would never get the lead. I would be the best friend, right? So the character part, right? So what happened was when I dared myself to go to a comedy club the first time, like to an open mic night, I went with a comedic song, right? So it's a lot easier with a comedic song because I'm confident about my singing. I wasn't so confident about the comedy because you're really naked up there, right? So I decided if I'm going to go there with a comedic song, I'm going to have a comedic intro, a comedic outro. And what happened was I saw, hey, I can do this, right? Now, about the speaking, yes, it does make the speaking a lot more, I mean, like I speak about marketing and getting noticed and getting known, and it's like a stand-up comedy routine on marketing. Like, it's funny, and people, even with my book, it's funny. One of my clients said she was reading it on a train, and somebody was staring at her. She said she was laughing her head off, and they're like, what are you laughing? She's reading this book, because even in my book, I speak in my speaking voice, you know, in my comedian. It's kind of written with the brain of a lawyer, but the voice of a comedian, right? So the way I did it was with baby steps and, you know, and not really announcing. Because when you announce that you're a comedian, it's basically the audience sits there with their hands crossed and said, yeah, okay, make me laugh, I dare you. you know?
Yep.
But if you come as a speaker and you're funny, they don't expect you to be funny as a speaker, so it's a bonus. But if you come as a comedian, they expect it, right?
Right.
So there have been a few times that I've been hired, and they've wanted to hire me as the comedian for an event in a business context, right? I did it before I was in the business thing, but in the business context, I always say no to that gig. I always say, no, I'm not going to come be your comedian, but I will come be your keynote speaker, and trust me, I'll be just as funny as whatever comedian you hire, right? So with that, it takes the pressure off me, just like it took the pressure off with the singing. It takes off the pressure with the speaking, because if I deliver good content as a speaker, whatever I do to be funny is just a bonus. It's not like what they paid for, what they came for. So that's how I did it.
Very cool. Yeah, we were speaking at an event last month in Austin, Texas, and he's like, hey, man, you should come with me. We're going to do some stand-up comedy. We're going to do, like, open mic nights. That's what he does. He goes to open mic nights. I'm like, okay. He's like, man, it would be so good for you. And I'm like, yeah, I've got other things to do. I don't think so. You know, but I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot, and I keep hearing that people
are
doing it.
Well, you know, dare yourself
know.
To do 2 minutes. You know, like the thing is, you just take, like, one thing builds on another. Like, my book was built on my speech, right? So, you know, like, I have a client, I had a VIP client this morning, and he was saying to me, you know, Sofito, this book thing is such a big deal. And, like, for me, it wasn't so, because I took my index cards from my speech, and I thought, okay, this is the core of my book, and then I can build on it. So, I mean, there's a really good movie you should watch, a documentary, if you haven't seen it already. I actually mention it in my book. It's called, it's a documentary about Jerry Seinfeld. When he finished his show, which was really popular, The Seinfeld Show, he started all over again doing stand-up, and it took him, I think, a year or so to come up with a good solid 60 minutes. And he would workshop it. Like,
wow.
He would go from place to place and open mic to open mic and just, or not open mic because he's Seinfeld, but, like, he would go do a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and tweak and tweak, and just, like, this little reaction. Like, to get a solid 60 minutes, I think, took him a year. And I'm kind of like that, too. Like, like, I'll do my thing, I'll do my speech, and maybe I'll add one new joke, two new jokes, but you don't want the whole thing to be new. You want to build on it.
All right.
So that's what I do.
Awesome. So the point of the show is to highlight that life's not all sunshine and rainbows. So a lot of times, you know, we're like, man, how did you become, you know, this amazing lawyer and this, you know, world famous author or speaker, or, you know, this, you know, you've been lauded by, you know, the Canadian, you know, television networks, newspapers, Toronto, like, You like, you rock, right? You're amazing. But
cannot be denied. Cannot be denied, Sean. Why pretend to be modest?
Right? So, you know, so what we talk about is those transformational moments that has changed our lives. So could you share a moment in your journey that transformed your life? Either it changed the way you think, feel, believe, behave, love, whatever. This changed your entire life and put you on the path to what you're doing today.
All right. Okay. So I don't always share this, but Sean, you and I are buds. Okay, here we go. So I had just had my fourth kid in 4 years, right? I told you that, just over 4 years. Mm-hmm. I get back to my law job. I was the first pregnant lawyer this firm had ever had. Okay, it was a small 14-person firm, and I could say 14-man firm. There was one other woman there. But she had been there 5 years and never dared to have a baby. 9 months to the day after I joined, I gave birth. Now, I wasn't pregnant when I took the job, but I became. And then a year later, I had the audacity to do it again. And a year later, I did it again. And a year and a half later, I did it again, right? And after I came back from my fourth maternity leave, 2 weeks after I'm back, right, they gave me notice. And I don't usually share this on podcasts, but because of the nature of your show, I want to let it all hang out here. So they gave me notice after 2 weeks. And, you know, they didn't admit it at the time, but later privately people told me, you know, they were kind of concerned that I would sneak in a fifth kid. You know, like, there was no end to this. And, you know, they had never had a pregnant lawyer, and all of a sudden I shook up the whole thing, right? Year after year after year after year. So here I am. I had 4 little babies at home, And I didn't work near where I live. Like, I work downtown, kind of Bay Street, which is kind of like, for those of you in the U.S., it's kind of like Wall Street, only colder. So and then I schlepped home for like an hour and a half till I got home. And then these four babies are greeting me crying and mommy, where were you? And then I got to get up and do the same thing again the next day, right? So after that fourth thing, I kind of looked for a law job for a little while. And then I thought, you know what? I don't know. Like, maybe I should kind of be a little bit more of a presence in my daughter's lives. They're all very young at that time. And, you know, a series of nannies and whatever. So I kind of thought, you know, maybe this is a good time to kind of be homish and do this music comedy thing that I'd always wanted to do. So it was kind of a combination of those two things that kind of gave me the guts. And it was hard because, like I said, I used to walk downtown in all those little underground tunnels, you know, they have and never really see the light of day and think, oh, one day. And I remember there was this poster on the wall underground and it said, Bob, I quit. And it was some guy giving notice and that he was going to go and start his own business. And I thought, wow, I don't know anything about business. My dad was a math professor. You know, my mom was home. I knew nobody in my family was in business. I had no entrepreneurial examples to follow. But I sat there for a little while after and I thought, you know, what am I really amazing at? Okay, I can command an audience. I can get attention. Humor, I knew I was good at that. I'm good at giving advice whether you want it or not. and so, you know, it's that unsolicited advice thing. I come by that naturally. So I just decided, you know what? What could I do? And I thought, you know what? Let me coach other people to do what I did. So I started acting and singing a little bit since I was already home. I put out that music CD. That took me 14 months to, you know, put out. And actually it was harder than four kids to put out that CD.
Wow.
So, yeah, it really was. And then, you know, a few years later I did the book, and the book took longer. The first time it took longer than all four kids altogether. Like, you know, now I teach people how to write a book. I have the book creation workshop much, much quicker. But for me, it really was a birthing process. So the very long answer to your question was, you asked if there was a moment or an epiphany or a transformation, and I know it's way sexier, and I know Hollywood likes that epiphany moment where, you know, the guy realizes that he let the girl get away, and then there's a chase scene to the airport, and, like, you can't have a Hollywood movie without that epiphany and that chase scene, right? But, right? So I hate to, like, wreck your show. But I'm going to wreck your show because there really isn't, like, maybe the moment was when they let me go, but it wasn't right away, right? And maybe the moment was, you know, when I thought I could do this or when I got some publicity and thought, but there really wasn't that exact moment that I decided to go on my own. It was kind of like a cautious, you know what, I don't know if I want to do that other thing anymore. Let me try this. Let me see what happens. Let me see if I can do it. Within 10 months from the time that I decided I was a coach, I was fully booked as a coach, and I would go to networking meetings, and I would do a killer 30 seconds, and I would have people hire me, and people who'd been coming there for 5 years said, oh, my God, like, she came from, and people criticized me in the beginning. They told me I didn't dress right. They told me I didn't do my infomercial right, because I would dress in, like, colorful stuff, not the business suits, right? I was leaving that law thing behind. I would wear, like, Asian, you know, things and Indian, things from Guatemala, like things that just stood out so I would get noticed. And all the people who, you know, criticized me in the first 6 months, eventually when they were in charge, they invited me on the stage 6 months later to explain to everybody else how I did it. And I did it by standing out, right, by humor, by color, by flavor, by all the things that I've now taught for the last 16 years. And so there really was no epiphany turning point, except I guess the partial epiphany was that all business is show business, right? And that's the reason I stood out, because I wasn't approaching it as a professional the way they were. Everybody goes to these networking meetings and they're all tripping over themselves to show that one is more professional than the next, right? They dress professionally. They have a professional business card. They have a professional 30-second introduction. I turned all that on its head. I didn't look professional. I didn't sound professional. And that's what got me hired to start teaching them how to do it.
Nice. That is a heck of a transformational moment. So using your why and using your journey, how do you now elevate the lives around you?
Boy, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz. Okay. How do I elevate
the hard
the life?
Questions on this show?
They are hard questions, and he did offer, guys, he did offer to give me the questions, but it was only 2 minutes to air time, so I thought, nah, that's just going to throw me. Okay, how do I elevate the lives around me? Well, you know what? I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to let I have binders. I remember years ago when my dad was alive, showing him two binders of laminated testimonial letters, right? People saying, oh my God, you changed my life. You did this, you did that. You showed me this, you showed me that. And I remember him looking through this, and he said to me, Sufit, are these real? Like, there were people with PhDs and MBAs and all this stuff. And he said, like, are they real? Like, he kind of, you know, knew me the way he knew me. And he thought, like, how is it that they're all saying this, right? Or when people would stand up at networking meetings and say, she changed my life, I would think that they're exaggerating, because all I really did is show them how to be themselves in public, or how to find the color that was buried in them. People would come to me and say, you know what, Sufit, I know of your reputation, but you're not going to find any color in me. I'm boring. And I say to them, no, nobody's, you know, you just haven't found it yet. So I tell some, you know, there's some stories. Like, I had a client who she was not a professional speaker. Unlike you, Sean, she was not a professional speaker, but she had a speakers bureau. And so she would get gigs for professional speakers, but she herself wasn't. But she was invited to speak to a group of professional speakers because of her business, right? And she came to me and said, Sufit, I'm embarrassed to go in front of these people and be boring. And she brought me her speech, and, yeah, it was really boring. So I said, okay, let me find out where your color lies. And I started interviewing her. And as I interviewed her, I found, you know what, I found out that when she was just like 8 years old, she grew up on a tomato farm, and her dad would help, you know, she would help pick tomatoes and then go to market with her dad to market the tomatoes that they picked. And I said, you know, isn't that kind of what you're doing right now, only with speakers? So I said, why don't we just, because she's taking speakers to market, I said, why don't we use an analogy, because tomatoes are colorful, right? You can see them, you can get a visual, and speakers, you know, aren't really that visual. So we made the analogy between speakers and tomatoes. And so she would go to a networking meeting with the 30 seconds that I helped her write, saying stuff like, and she did her speech this way also, saying stuff like, you know, speakers are like tomatoes. Some are still green and seedlings and aren't quite ready. Others are ripe and plump and juicy and ready for market. And others are just plain rotten, you know, like rotten tomatoes. So she used that analogy that we came up. Now, I didn't make it up.
That's awesome.
I didn't say, okay, what would sound good for you? I took her actual real life. And it was there all along, but nobody had ever, you know, pointed out to her that maybe there was some color there that was buried dig. And I feel kind of like an archaeologist, you know, digging for this stuff carefully. And she had a lineup of people waiting to speak to her. I'll just give you one more quick example. Another client
That's awesome.
I had. Thank you. Another client I had, again, she had a graphic design company. And people, you know, she would go to these networking meetings and say, hi, you know, I have a graphic design company. It's called blah, 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 and Associates. And so if you want to do any brochures or business cards or books or websites or pamphlets, you know, that's what we do. Go to my website, blah, 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 blah. She came to me and I said, that's boring. You know, I mean, I'm known for just telling them, I said, I'm sorry, what you're saying, it's boring, number one. And number two, how do you expect people to remember you if you say all this? Who does not know a graphic designer? You know, we all know 17 of them, and our brother-in-law and our neighbor and everybody else, and everybody can do it on their own computers now anyway, right? So I said, that's not going to do it for you. But you said one thing buried in that whole long story. You said you do books. And I said, you know, books is something that not everybody does. So I said, why don't we, number one, we'll focus on that. Number two, I said, tell me your story, because we need to find some color. Just like with the tomato person, we got to find your color. So when she told me her story, which she had never told to anybody else before, not in a business context, because it wasn't professional and it wasn't relevant, when I interviewed her, I found out that she grew up not on a tomato farm. She grew up in the Swiss Alps, right? She was Swiss. She grew up in Switzerland at the top of a mountain. And she loved books, but she didn't have any books. She didn't own any books, so she used to have to go to the library at the bottom of the mountain, down the valley. So every time, you know, her big reward after doing her chores was going to the library and getting this book. And I said to her, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could say that your favorite book was Heidi? And she said, Sufit, it actually was. The reason I had suggested that was because my client's name was Heidi. So her name's Heidi. Her favorite book is Heidi. She lives in the Swiss Alps. And we start telling the story, and the punchline to the story was she didn't have any books growing up. She used to have to go all the way down to the mountain to get books because she loved books. And now her business is We Make Books. We renamed her business from blah, 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 creative LTD or whatever it was to We Make Books, right? WeMakeBooks.ca. She got the URL. And when she did that, 8 out of 10 people were interested in talking to her at the little circle that she was in. So, again, we took her story, real story. I didn't make it up because it doesn't work if you make it up for people.
Right.
Although with my own personal infomercial, sometimes I make it up, but I do it with humor so that they tell them that it's all made up. So that works for me. But for the average person, you don't want to make it up because, you know, if you don't have the humor to – like, for example, I would go to a networking meeting and I would say something like, I have just been named North America's speaking coach, you know. And then everybody applauds mm-hmm. for me, right? And then I would say something like, you know, admittedly, the panel of judges was a little teeny-weeny bit small, just me and my mom, right? So I get another big laugh. And then I would say something like, nah, pretty much just me. She doesn't really think I'm that funny. Get another big laugh. You know, so I've admitted that the whole thing was made up after they've clapped for me, right? And then I would just go into my little short spiel about teaching them how to speak in public or how to market themselves or brand themselves or whatever I was, you know, promoting that day. And, again, you know, people would come up to me afterwards and speak to me, and I would attract clients in just 30 seconds that way.
I love it. No, I absolutely love that. You know, when I start my every talk I have starts off with humor. So
yeah.
You know how a lot of speakers, they go up on stage, like, please help me welcome whatever to the stage. You're like, hey,
boring,
thanks
boring.
For having me.
Yeah,
I want to thank the event planner, and I want to thank – let me take a minute to talk about me. And then they go into this 5-minute rant about why they're qualifying themselves on stage. I don't even do that. I got time
right.
for that. That's why I had let somebody else introduce me, so I don't have to do that.
Exactly.
So I walk up on stage. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, thank you, everybody. Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Okay, thanks. Hey, so by a show of hands, who – and the questions always depend on – what my talk is about or what the event is about. Let's say it's podcast. Who has ever wanted to start a podcast? Raise your hand. Outstanding. Put your hands down. Who wants to be guests on podcasts? Yeah. Awesome. Raise your hand. Cool. Put them down. Now, who's not going to raise their hand no matter what I say? Always gets a laugh. Always kills. Right? And then I have little humor things that I say throughout the talk. And then at the end, I cap it off by saying, as I close, which is great for the event planner, but really doesn't mean anything if you really know who I am. And then I keep on going, you know, and then, you know, it gets a laugh or whatever. So definitely you have to have these insertion of these humorous bits because there's
definitely.
Nothing worse than sitting, listening to a speaker for 40 minutes and he's just reading from slides. And
that's
he's just like
that,
drawing
that's absolutely
on.
True. Absolutely
you know,
true, Sean.
Like,
and I wonder Sean, Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I wonder if you, which kind of podcast guest do you prefer? The one, I'm giving you a choice here. Choose A or B, Sean. Do you want the podcast guest that says everything right? Or do you want the podcast guest that gives some feedback which you may or may not like?
I want the B, man. I want the, like, the most
honest.
Are
you sure? You know, who was it? Tom Cruise and who's the actor? Oh, Al Pacino? Are you ready for the What's that?
Oh.
You can't handle the truth or whatever, right?
Oh, that
Can
was,
you handle the truth? Okay.
That was a Few Good Men, and it was Jack Nicholson.
Okay. So you said B. Okay, good for you, because most people would have wished for A. But I think you're strong enough. Okay, so I'm going to give you two pieces of feedback,
sure.
And it's up to you whether you accept them or not, okay? And by the way, for the rest of you who are listening to this and want to be a podcast guest, never, ever, ever, ever do what I just did, because you don't want to upset your podcast host. They will never invite you on again, and no other podcast host will ever invite you on again. So do not try this at home is what I'm saying to people who want to be podcast guests. But I do enough podcasts. I'm secure enough in what I do that I'm going to take the risk because I think it will elevate. You asked me the third question is, how do I elevate the lives around me? I think I can elevate your life by giving you a little feedback, which you may or may not like in the short term, but I think it will elevate your life in the long term. Yes?
Okay.
Number one is, don't come back and say thank you. Okay, so you said you don't say what normal people say, but still, I wouldn't start with a thank you at all. I would jump right straight into the middle of whatever it is that you're going to say, number one.
Perfect.
Right? Number two, you know your joke about who's not going to raise their hand no matter what I
yep.
say? I've heard that in every single speech I've gone to, almost.
Really?
Every single person, yes, everybody says that. Everybody says
that. I've never heard that.
I've heard it 10,000 million quadrillion times. And actually, if you have caller people, you know, send them a note and tell them if you've ever heard it. Okay, and I'm in Canada. You and I have never met. I go to a lot. So why am I telling you this? I shouldn't tell you this publicly, but the reason I'm telling you this publicly is because I want other people to learn from it, okay? So I hope you're okay with that. What
yeah.
I tell my clients who are speakers, Sean, is if what you are going to say could come out of anybody else's mouth but yours, don't say it. So you have a very interesting background, right? So there are things that you could say and humor that you could use. Like, for example, when I'm speaking in public and I want somebody to come closer to me, sometimes I'll say something like, approach the bench, okay? And it always gets a laugh because people know I was a lawyer, right? Judges usually say approach the bench or whatever. So I use things that are kind of what I call Sufitisms, right? Now, I'm not saying nobody in the world has ever said them, but it's unlikely, right? And but there are other things that I hear at every single speech that I go to. One thing I hear at every single speech I go to is, would it be okay if I, you know, did this? And then the audience says, yes, it's okay, and they do it. Or turn to your neighbor and say this. Or pat your neighbor on the back. I mean, you've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Every speech you go to, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this other thing about who's this, you know, and who's not that, and who's not going to raise your hand no matter what I say, hundreds of times I've heard that. Hundreds from different people. And every time I hear it, I'm thinking, oh, not another one. Like, they went to all the same, you know. Now, I know you're a real authentic guy. I hear your humor. I hear you're very strong on, like, I do a lot of podcasts. Not everybody's as strong as you on the intro and on the, you know, you're obviously really great at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason that I dared to tell you this. Like, I do a ton, like I told you, I do a ton of podcasts. Most people, I wouldn't have said this. And I even debated, I agonized while you were talking. I thought, oh, I shouldn't really say this. But because you're asking me tough questions, I sort of feel like you want to grow. And I hope it's well taken what I've said. I hope you come up with a line that can't come out of anybody else's mouth but yours, because it's from your personal experience. Just like my client
Very
with the
cool.
tomato farm, right? That's not going to
yeah.
work for somebody else. My client with the Swiss Alps, like, who else is born in the Swiss Alps and went to the library and is named Heidi? Like, those are things that only they can say. Find something that only you can say, and it will start to be your trademark. And people say, when they're talking about you, they'll say, oh, I heard this guy, I don't remember his name, but he said this. And people say, oh, that's Sean Douglas.
Yeah, I like that. That's great feedback.
You don't hate
me.
Have you
ever thought about being a? No, have you ever thought about being a coach?
Oh, what a great idea!
It's a great idea. I think
no,
you should
but you
do
know
that.
You know the problem with coaches is they get too coachy and they give unsolicited advice like I just did, and it can really make people hate
tell.
You. It can
you
make people
can
hate you. But you know what? You have to sense whether the person you're saying it to is already successful enough. Like, the fact that you said you've already done TEDx talks, you know, you're comedic.
Yeah.
Like, you already set it up that I know you're strong. I would never, 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 never have said this to anybody who wasn't that strong.
I appreciate it. I really do, because, I mean, you're only going to get better. I mean, if I go around thinking I have the greatest opening ever and I've never heard it, the only person I've ever heard say this is my speaker mentor. Who said,
oh,
hey,
so
if you
times
use
this,
it'll kill.
Oh,
my,
I cannot
my
tell
speaker
you how
mentor
many
is,
yeah.
Yeah, it's John Vroman. It's John
yeah,
Vroman. So he's my speaker mentor. And I was like, I love your talk. And he's like, use it. See what happens.
Yeah, everybody
and
uses that line.
Crushed.
Let me tell you something. Well, people do laugh at it. I'm not saying they don't laugh at it, but it's not branded
yeah.
to you. Let me just tell you a story. Just let me show you some vulnerability
yeah.
here, okay?
Go ahead.
Because now that I've outed you, I'm going to out myself. Just so that if there's any
awesome.
Residual chance that you hate me for this, I'm going to out myself so that you can't. Okay. I was being interviewed for the magazine that I always wanted to be interviewed for in my old life. Like, the pinnacle for me was Entrepreneur Magazine, okay? And this is many years ago.
Mm.
I'm being interviewed for a thing about humor, which was a topic I suggested to this journalist, and she came to me to use me as a source on it. And the interview is going amazing, okay, amazing, great interview. And then she asked me for an example, and I gave her an example that somebody I knew had told me, okay? And the example was this woman I knew, she was a businesswoman, but once upon a time she had been a hairdresser. Oh, she had her own business as a hairdresser, and then later she had an organization, networking organization. So this woman had told me a story about how when she was a hairdresser, there was another guy across the street who opened up a hair salon, or I forget who was first and who was second, but anyway, one of them invited the other out to lunch, and they had a nice talk about how they were going to compete. And one said to the other, you know, as long as you don't undercut me on price, we'll get along or whatever, right? And so one of them had a sign that says, we have $10 haircuts. The other one across the street put up a sign, we fix $10 haircuts. Okay, so it's a funny line. And so I used this as an example to this Entrepreneur magazine journalist about, you know, how you can use humor in your, you know, in your 30 seconds or in your speeches or in your whatever. And I used that as an example, and I told her it was told to me by my friend Diane, and that's 100% true. It was told to me by my friend Diane. You know what this journalist said to me? She said, Sufit, that's an old story. That's an urban legend. Like, just like I said to you, she said to me, that's all over the place. Everybody knows that story, right? And I had honestly been told this by my friend Diane, like it happened to her. And I have no reason not to. And I even emailed her afterwards. And I said, Diane, like, you know, I was told that. And she said, no, that's what really happened. But anyway, I looked, and you know what my cost was? The price of doing that? What? It went from being a good interview to she cut me out of the article completely. She didn't think I was a trustworthy source. She thought I'm just regurgitating crap. Now, I eventually did get in Entrepreneur Magazine, thank the Lord, a full page. It wasn't through her, though. Full page interview, you know, they interviewed me about stuff after the book came out. But that was a few years later. Like, I lost the interview I wanted, and I did it just like you, inadvertently. Like, I thought that I'm telling a unique story that somebody had told me, and I had never heard it before. So even though, you know, it's not pleasant to hear it because it's like, you know, a good moment in your speech. And just like it was a great thing for me, a great story for me, I can never tell that story again except as an urban legend.
Right.
Story. I can't say my friend Diane. I think it's even in my book, that story. Like, I think it was after the book came out. So anyway, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I go to a lot of events. I watch a lot of speaker videos. I watch a lot of
highlight
reels or whatever. Yeah. But I've never heard that. I mean, anywhere I go, I've only heard him do it.
So many times I've heard it. And I've never heard this guy speak that you're referring to. I've never even heard of this guy. I've never heard you speak, but I've heard it so many times. So just like I had never heard this thing that she says is an urban legend, right? So that's why it's good to get feedback from other sources, you know?
Sure. Well, I mean, that's good to know, though. I mean, that's super, But you make a good point, though. You know, that if I had, because with my background with, you know, military, resilience, you know, suicide, you know, all this other stuff. I mean, just based on my whole background, I'm sure there's a way that I could come up with something that's super unique to me. Maybe.
Sure. 100% and then nobody else can use it because it's you, it's your life, it's your story, right?
Give me a little bit to think about.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me something to think about. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. So since we're on the topic, I'm kind of curious, who's your biggest influencers? Who do you follow?
You know, it's funny. I posted something about this today because the current influencers online are the students of the people who influence me. So the people that I studied and followed and actually had the pleasure, some of them, of interviewing, somebody like Dan Kennedy, who wrote a zillion books about marketing, and Dan Kennedy spawned people like Russell Brunson, like Ryan Dice, pretty much most of the mentors that my daughter is now following, because she's an entrepreneur as well, were, you know, Ali Brown, you know, all the people, came from him. So he was a big influence on me. Also people like Al Reif, who co-wrote Positioning with Jack Trout. He's still, very influential. I think he was named one of the most one of the 100 top in advertising in the last century. And I had the pleasure of interviewing both Dan Kennedy and Al Reese. J. Conrad Levinson, who wrote like 60 books on guerrilla marketing. I had the pleasure of doing a CD interviewing him. So those are big influencers. Also, I read people like Robert Cialdini, who talks about influence. I'm very interested in behavioral economics. People like Dan Ariely, like why people behave the way they do, why they buy, what they buy, and what influences them. Robert Cialdini also, I was, very honored that he endorsed my book, as did Al Reese, because those are the people that I follow. And now, the next generation of people are out there actually probably making a lot more money than the first generation, I'm guessing, because they took those ideas and they've amplified it with their facility with, automated webinars and all the stuff that they're doing online. People like Jeff Walker was in the first category. He's the one who kind of perfected the launch that everybody does online. And Brendan Burchard and Frank Kern and, all those guys are kind of the people that I followed. Well, now their students have kind of taken over, and I don't know all the names. I don't know all their names. Sure. But I try to stay current.
Well,
I'm
one of them.
I'm a learner every day. I'm as much of a student as I am a mentor.
Perfect. No, I think I love to know what type of, resources, books, influencers, because mostly everybody you talk to, I'm an entrepreneur, Gary Vee, everybody's always
Gary Vee is such a recent thing. And, he's great, but he's just one of so many. And I know the young people love to, But he's just one guy. I mean, it's great that he had the persistence to do that wine library thing over and over and over when nobody knew who he was. So he deserves, not like he came overnight, he deserves everything that he's earned because he has earned it.
Yeah. I like to, I've heard of some of the people that you've mentioned. I have not heard of some of the people you mentioned. So it's just always good for me to make a list, who to follow, where do I learn, because we can learn from so many different areas and so many different avenues that I might go to Al Reese and learn something that unlocks something that has not been working for me. And it was all because, she follows. Well, let me go ahead and see what this is all about.
You know what I did? I made a point in my book, in my Step Into the Spotlight book, I made a point of quoting a lot of these influencers, a lot of the people that I learned from. So there's probably in the end, and I put an index, and in the index, if you look under books, there's probably – I don't know, I didn't count them, maybe 50 books, who knows how many. But there's a whole line of books that I quoted because I didn't want people just to learn from me. I wanted them to learn from all these other people. I'll give you another name. Harry Beckwith wrote a book called Selling the Invisible, and which is perfect for coaches, right? You really learn what's going on out there. And I'm very honored that in my LinkedIn group, I have this LinkedIn group called Step Into the Spotlight as well. Harry Beckwith, I invited to be a member of the group. Al Reese is a member of the group. A lot of I think Martin Lindstrom, I'm not sure if he's currently a member, but there are a lot of, what's his name? Emeth, Michael Gerber is a member of the group. I invited, some people have these LinkedIn groups where it's kind of when you go fishing and you stock the pond. So you can go fish in your own pond. And so there's one big guru mentor, and that's supposed to be me. And then I fill it with prospects, right? And I thought, I'm going to invite all my competitors, people who are way more famous than me and way more accomplished than me, and let it be a place that people want to go where they can learn not just from me but from Bob Berg, who's a member, or from, who wrote, I think it was Go Giver or Referral, whatever, something. So many. Marshall Goldsmith is a member. Just the who's who of Whoville. David Meerman Scott, who wrote books about publicity and Worldwide Rave, is a member of the group. So I just invite, all of my people that I learn from, and so that other people can learn from them too.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. Absolutely. So based on that, and you have all of these people that you're following, and if somebody wanted to find that group, or if somebody wanted to know more about you and what you're doing, how would they do that?
Okay. So I think the very first thing that people should do is grab a copy of the book, which you can do it if you go to spotlightbook.com. It will take you straight to Amazon, where you can buy a physical copy or the Kindle copy of the book. It's called Step Into the Spotlight, A Guide to Getting Noticed, because there you will see all the other books listed, and it will give you a great foundation of how you do all of this. The other thing you want to do is go to spotlightsecrets.com with an S at the end and get my free Spotlight Secrets series, which is about how you introduce yourself in just 30 seconds so that you can attract clients. If you want to see what I post or interact with me, you can go to sufit.com. That's T-S-U-F-I-T.com. And if you want to join this group that where, you know, all these mentors are and also other people who are – it's full of podcasters, by the way. There's tons of podcasters in there. There's tons of experts who want to be on podcasts in there. If you go to www.spotlightgroup.biz, you can put in a request to join. And if I like you, maybe I'll accept you into the group, spotlightgroup.biz. You can also send me a personal connection request and tell me that you heard me on Sean's show, and that will give you an extra little in. And I just want to point out something I did here that I think any entrepreneur should consider doing. I was easily able to tell you for the book, go to spotlightbook.com. For the autoresponder free tip series, go to spotlightsecrets.com. For me, go to tsufit.com. For the group, go to spotlightgroup.biz. Now, the actual URLs of these places are, you know, http://linkedin/478, right? And
right.
So what I did was I bought a few domain names at GoDaddy or wherever you want to buy them for $10,
yeah.
And I forward them to where I want you to go so that when I do radio, which I do all the time, or podcasts or whatever, or even for articles if I'm telling journalists, I can tell them spotlightbook.com, spotlightsecrets.com, spotlightgroup.biz,
mm-hmm.
right? Or spotlightblog.com or whatever it is. I can tell them easily without having to try to say /, you know, like most people do. It's
yep.
much more memorable. It's easier on your show notes, and it
looks
reinforces that branding.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that
sure.
to everybody.
Yeah, it looks more professional, and
yeah.
and it's just a simple redirect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, perfect. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's great for those listening that are trying to set up, you know, websites and different, you know, backlinks and everything. Because I mean, it's going to be backlinked to here, and then be backlinked everywhere else, and you know, you show up. You know, so now you've been on my show, and your keywords and everything are in here, your name and everything. So when you get searched on Google, let's say someone's searching for something, and you could possibly come up and be attached to Life Transformation Radio, like you're still coming up that you were on this show, and you're still ranking. So you get my links, my link points, I call them, and then your link points, and then you know. But anyway, it's just backlinks and redirects, and you know, it's a great game to play.
I am far from an expert on any of this. Like, yeah, like what you just said is a little bit Greekish to me. Like, I know about backlinks and SEO and all that stuff, but the truth
right.
is, you don't have to understand any of that stuff that Sean just said in order to do the simple thing that I'm telling you to do. You just want a couple
right.
of easy words so that you can spout them out. If you see somebody on the street and they say, how do I see your website? You don't want to say some long thing. You want to say, you know, and by the way, a lot of these are just pages on my website. So let's say if sufit.com
yep.
is my main site, a lot of these are just sufit.com/book or /blah, blah, blah, or /pro. But I don't want to tell a person all that, right? So I just take another URL and I redirect it there.
Yep. Perfect. I love it. So as we start to close the show, what is next for you? What's the rest of 2018 look like? What does 2019 have in store for you? Let us know.
Well, I have something I haven't mentioned yet. I have three programs that I did. I did them each once live, and now for the last 6 or so years, people have been taking them as a pre-recorded program. Well, the first is called spotlight101.com, and the second is the Book Creation Workshop, or bookcreationworkshop.com, and the third one is 30seconds.biz. So those are three programs for people who either want to learn to write a book or learn how to do the 30 seconds or the foundational spotlight101.com program. So what I have for 2018 and 2019 is rather than create a new program, which I've been dying to do, and I have two other ones that I'm working on, I'm trying to get what I already have in the hands of more people rather than keep creating more and more content. Even though the creative part of me wants to keep creating more content, the practical part of me says, you know, you've got these three amazing programs, let's extend the reach a little bit. You know, same thing on the book. Like,
right.
I've been wanting to write another book, and people keep saying, like, my fans are saying, Sufit, when's the next book coming out? So I've started a few other books, and I thought, you know what? I'll tell you when the next book comes out, when this book's in the hands of everybody who needs it. So,
there you go.
Just continuing to spread the word and, you know, doing great shows like yours. I'd love it, an introduction to that guy that you mentioned, Tom Singer. And, you know, it just, that's how it happens. Usually I go from one show to the next based on recommendations. And for your audience, I would suggest that you guys do the same thing. Just continue building relationships with people in your industry.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you want to get more reach, and I can help you with one simple tip that I know about that not a lot of other people do. So you have a blog, yes?
Yes, sir.
So your book is also on Amazon. Have you put your blog on Amazon yet?
No, I haven't.
So if you go to your Author Central page on Amazon, it gives you an area under your name, bio, you know, whatever, it'll say blog. And so you click on that, and then it gives you a space for you to take your RSS feed and plug it from your blog, your RSS feed, into Amazon. And then it will pull all of your blog articles onto Amazon under your Author Central page. So if somebody finds your book, they click on your books, and they go to your bio, all of your blogs are there. Then, because they click on your blog, it takes you from Amazon to your website directly. And so Amazon has essentially backlinked your website to theirs.
Wow. Okay, I'm glad. First of all, I'm glad that I'm not the only one who gave unsolicited advice on this podcast. So that, we have it going in two directions, and I'm very grateful because that's not something I often get on these shows, and I'm very grateful for that, number one. And number two, how many techies have to be involved to change this light bulb? Like, is it
You can do this in, like, under a minute.
Without any knowledge of how to do anything?
Correct.
All right. Well, definitely
Do you know how to get your RSS feed from your blog?
You know, I don't even know if I do.
Okay. Well, you just ask somebody, whoever's hosting your site, whoever's doing your blog, whatever, like, hey, where do I find my blog RSS feed?
There is one. Yeah.
Yes. So once you capture that, then you just go to you can literally go to, like, what is it, like, Amazon.AuthorCentral.com. I mean, I don't know. Just Google Amazon Author Central, and then it'll take you to the Author Central website. You log into Amazon. You go to your Author Central page, and then click on where it says blog under, I think, like, the first line. Click on that, bam, and then it'll say enter your blog RSS feed, and then copy, paste, boom, hit enter. It'll say, congratulations, we found your blog or whatever. And then you'll look like the next day, and then all of your blog articles are now on Amazon.
Well, folks, we'd like to thank our guest today, Sean Douglas, who has elevated the lives around him. Good work, Sean. Thank you. I appreciate that, and I've made a note.
My show is on Amazon, and I average an extra 200 to 246 more listens and downloads just because my show is attached to my book on Amazon.
Wow. That is awesome. I'm so glad you shared that. That is absolutely wonderful. And you know what, Sean? I think you're in my LinkedIn group, if I'm not mistaken, or if you're not, what's the matter for you? So post a post in there. We only allow people to post questions, right? Preaching or teaching. So just post one question that says, is your RSS feed, or whatever it is, are you linked to Amazon? Is your blog linked to Amazon through your RSS? Just put a question, see what people answer, and then when everybody says no, 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 which is, I'm sure they're all going to say, then in your comments later, you can tell them about it, because that would help elevate the lives of the people in my group. And I'm always looking out for the people in my group, which is the reason that all your listeners should join the group.
Sounds great. Absolutely. Yeah. So as we close the show, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
No pressure here, Sean.
We asked a hard question.
You know, it's not original. So, Entrepreneur Magazine, don't be calling me, right? Because this is another unoriginal one. But this is something I've heard recently, and I think it really resonates, and it's even worth tweeting. So it's not original to me. You've probably heard it a lot, but done is the new perfect.
Get out there and do it. Yes.
Get out there and do it. I mean, listen, I'm a perfectionist, and, I agonize over every little, what color should this be and what shade and what this and what that. But you know what? You can get a perfect and nobody sees it. It's not. So just do it. Do the next thing, even if you're not ready. Do the next thing if it's not perfect, and fix it as you're doing it rather than waiting another 10 years to do it.
Love it. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. You've been an amazing guest today. And I just want to thank you for your brilliance. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your energy. Thank you for being a guest on Life Transformation Radio.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Sean. Anytime.
Thank you. Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest, elevating lives around her. If anything resonated with you, please contact her. Go to the website inside of the show notes. Go to spotlightbook.com for the book, spotlightsecrets.com for her free Spotlight Secrets series. Go to the blog at www.tsufit.com, and join the LinkedIn group, spotlightgroup.biz. Join the LinkedIn group. As I close the show, I want to let you know to subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play Music app. Anywhere you're comfortable listening to shows, please subscribe, rate, and review the show. Until then, I want you to live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.